Hello, everyone. How are you doing? Hope you're enjoying your Monday or whenever you're listening to this. I'm assuming you're going to listen to this on a Monday because I'm recording this Sunday night and I don't think I'm going to get it up before Monday. I'm just saying, it's 10:27 p.m. People are already pounding on my door telling me to shut up because it's late. And I don't think, with all the things that are being edited right now, with all the mixing down that I have to do, and mind you, this is a pretty stripped-down podcast. This is bare bones, for the most part. I mean, I gotta tweak things here and there. You know, there's a couple things, especially last episode. Last episode, I had to cut a bunch of stuff out. And I noticed, during that episode, I wanted to talk real quick about the audio in it. If you were listening, if you didn't, check it out. You can download it. It's free. Why not? I had a pretty cool guest on. His name was Khan. And it sounded like we were in, like, a tin can or a bathroom or something. I don't know where we were recording it. We were actually recording... Oh, I know where we were recording it, but it sounds like we were recording it from some sort of weird bunker, and we weren't. I was using the same mics I'm using for this. It's just the way it was exported, okay? And I know you guys don't care, but I want to promise you that I'm going to try and get better at giving you the best possible podcast that I can. Which means I'm going to get you better... I'm going to get you guests. Not better guests, because Khan's a great guest. But I'm going to get you better sound than what you heard. Okay? And there were a couple little mistakes there. I think the lesson I learned was that, you know what? There are some times you don't export in mono. Especially if you have two mics going. Because Khan's a very low talker. And I'm a very loud talker. So I had Khan's mic up pretty high. And Khan's getting close to the mic. But then Khan's mic's so high, he can pick up my loudness. So I don't know, I gotta figure it out. It's not all the kinks are worked out just yet. And if you have any suggestions, send them my way. Why not? But in the meantime, I'm gonna keep fumbling around. And you know what? The goal will be to get more guests on. Because quite frankly, I think it mixes up the shows. I don't think you want to hear me rambling 24/7 or at least twice a week. And that's what I'm going to try and do. The podcast is going to go up twice a week. And hopefully, we'll even get a guest on that second time. I just have to start booking. I have to start doing something. Everyone's back in school, and that's the problem. September, like I said, everything picks back up. People are moving on. And this is the first time in a long time that I'm not doing anything. It's like a lunar eclipse. I'm stuck here in September. And so I've got all these things, these ideas that I want to do and just stuff I want to get done and just being productive and creative. And what do I end up doing? I end up playing video games. And I don't play video games that often. I don't even have a current system. I don't have a PS4. I have a PlayStation 3. Mostly because I find it's too much of a waste of time and money to get a PS4. But then I'll usually get the console behind, and then I'll buy all the games dirt cheap if I want to binge. And usually I start binging after a hike or something, like something where I'm sore and the next day I don't want to move. That's usually when I'm like, you know what? It makes sense for me to spend a couple hundred just to sit at home and play video games, and that week usually turns into 6 months. And that's one of the other problems about playing video games with me. I get obsessive about them, and they're so good these days that I need to beat them. Like, you guys, I'm going to be talking about some retro games here for anybody that's, like, listening to the current gen. You're guys going to think, Tej, you are so lame. These games came out in, like, 2010. And I'm thinking, yeah, they came out in 2010, not realizing it's still 28. It's 2018. Those are 8-year-old games. And I'm just playing them for the first time. But yeah, I played through Fallout 3. I know they made a 4. I know they made New Vegas. But I went into that. Still, it's still the greatest game. You had to find Liam Neeson, who's your dad. Okay? Great game. Don't tell me anything different. It starts off, you survive a nuclear holocaust, you come out of this vault, and you're looking for your father, who's Liam Neeson. What better storyline is that? And not only that, but they also had a great radio DJ in there. And I love me a great radio DJ. You know I do. That's why, otherwise I wouldn't be podcasting. Wow, I sounded like William Shatner there. Otherwise I wouldn't be podcasting. Captain's log. But no, Three Dog. I still remember the name. This is Three Dog. Ow! And I think he was supposed to be a parody of Wolfman Jack. I don't know. I thought he was great, though. That was a great game. Fallout New Vegas, another game. But the point is, you don't see me. I'll start playing these games, and it might take me a little while. I'll buy it, pick it up, play it for 20 minutes because I don't really have the time. Then, like, after a hike, I'll start getting into it because, you know, I don't really want to do anything the day after a 30K hike. And you won't see me for the next 6 months. So a similar thing happened in that I went hiking with my cousin Reed, who I talked about, I think, a couple podcasts ago. It was, I think, episode 8. We're on the 10th episode, by the way. That's phenomenal. 10. Episode X. As they say, Roman numeral X. Yeah. Anyway, I was hiking the Chief, and I did some other stuff later that day. I went out to my buddies, and again, I usually start getting braggy about the fact that I don't play video games. Like, I'll get obnoxious. Like, oh yeah, no, I don't play them. Because people will ask me, and they'll start talking in certain lingos, and maybe that's just me getting old too. Oh yeah, you play the latest, did you play Andromeda? You play the latest COD? No, I didn't. I don't have a PS4. They're like, what? Yeah, I'm too busy editing videos and doing other stupid things to waste my time. That's the other thing. I have other stupid things. But yeah, I come back home. I go out to my buddy's place. And my buddy Brett, who's probably one of the funniest guys I know. If you ever get a chance to meet him, hilariously funny. Savage. Most savage insults I've ever heard. I believe he once called, I posted a picture of when I was heavier set. I think he called me Michael Chiklis post-buffet. Pretty good line, I gotta be honest. I chuckled. He's funny, he's savage. Anyways, we usually go out, we'll usually like hang out. He's got a PS4, he's got a bunch of retro games. And I think, you know, we're hanging out. I think my buddy Drew was over there, my buddy buddy Ty, Brett's brother. And for some reason, we all wanted to watch the Twisted Metal endings. And I was like, yeah, I haven't played those in years. I haven't played video games in years at all. Sure enough, we start watching them. I go home. I start jonesing. It's like a crack addict or a drug addict that needs a fix. I got a little taste of it, and now I need to start playing again. Start scratching my arm, looking for the controller. I go into my closet, start ruffling through a bunch of junk, find my PS3, hook it up, hope the PS4, the PS Store still works, the online PlayStation Store, and I go and I download all the Metal Gears. And then I see that there's a sale. Did you know, here's another thing, did you know the PS3 store, the PlayStation 3 store, still is operating right now? They haven't been making games for this thing for like 4 years. And yet it's the online store still works. Actually, I think they still think they made maybe 2K17. I think they may have stopped making games in 2016 because WWE 2K17 still pops up as something for me to purchase. But anyways, they had all these purchases available, so I bought Twisted Metal 2, Twisted Metal Black, and then I played the Tomb Raider games. And I've never been a big fan of the Tomb Raider games, but I always think like, oh, you know, maybe they're cool. Maybe I'll get a good retro fix out of it. And I think they were only 99 cents. They were having this weird flash sale. I spent $15 total. I bought about 5 games. And a couple of them were like $5, and then a couple were like 2. It was awesome. And then they had one game. The newest Tomb Raider was $1.99. And I think the newest, by new, I mean 2013. Which is a 5-year-old game, But it's still really new to me. I've never played this game before. So I fire it up. And sure enough, it's amazing. It's like, for me, I'm going to talk about the Uncharted games. If you've ever played the Uncharted games with Nathan Drake, and if you haven't, they're great. If you want to get into gaming, which, by the way, don't, unless you just are completely antisocial, you hate sports, you hate television, reality TV, and you're just trying to relate to people on any basic level, you have no social skills, then maybe you can pick up a game. Maybe this is a good addiction for you to have, just so you can talk to someone about something. And if you're looking for a game to pick up and get into, I recommend The Uncharted. Because it's essentially Indiana Jones in a with a modern twist. He's a cross between Indiana Jones and Nathan Fillion. The characters, Nathan Fillion's character from, what's that, Firefly? You remember that show? Only lasted a season. They made a movie about it called Serenity. Great. Great program. Joss Whedon, probably the precursor to all the ensemble movies that he made with the Avengers and Justice League. Fun fact, Ghost directed it, I think, the remainder of it, after Zack Snyder left the project. Sidebar, back to the story. I get into it. It's such this Tomb Raider game. So going back, past the Uncharted's, past back to when I buy this game. This game is addicting. It's like the Uncharted's, but it's just as good, if not better. You're just hunting around the island, searching for guns. There's this weird, like, cult that's trying to attack you. There's some scary moments. You have to fight some ancient statues. It's exciting. And I'm geeking out, and I can't believe this. So the problem with these games, though, is I'll work an evening shift, and usually I get most of my stuff done in the morning. The morning. So, if I work an evening shift, that means I have the beginning, and if I stay up too late after my evening shift, that means I'll sleep in the morning, I don't get anything accomplished. So, sure enough, this is what happens. I start going and playing this game, and it's just, you know, it's a good game, you know, it's a great game, well designed, if you keep thinking to yourself, man, just one more minute, man, just one more level, okay, I've got time for one more. It's like YouTube on autoplay. I do the same thing with YouTube. You know, oh, this video is going to be only 2 minutes. It's only going to be a few minutes more. Oh, that's okay. I can leave for work and still get there relatively quickly on time. So anyway, I got fixated on the game. Didn't really do much this week. And then I realized everybody else is back at school. And here I am, stuck trying to think about what type of projects I'm supposed to do. I checked my email box. There are a couple assignments I haven't done. And believe it or not, by assignments, I mean contracts that I have that I still need to get filled and finish up for other people. Just certain audio projects that I'm working on. And then various other things. But man, I couldn't stop thinking about this game. Even my buddy was like, oh yeah, we're supposed to hang out at 4. I keep texting him back, better make it 5. Better make it 6. And I made up some BS excuse like I was in Abbey or something. No, I'm playing this. Better make it 7. Dude, I promise I'm going to be there, and I just got to finally beat this game. And it felt so good. I've never felt more relieved. And then the problem is, after you've beaten these games, like you beat the major storyline in this game, I have to go back and find all the little side quests. Now, most of the time when I'm doing something like that in something like Fallout or something, I usually do all the side quests as I'm going along. But in Tomb Raider, I was so gripped up in the story that I had to do the main mission first and then kind of go around. And basically, the island is just one big giant, they call it a sandbox game, okay, where you can kind of just go anywhere and do what you want. The story's a linear story, but you go back, you can visit wherever you want in the island. Very much, very similar to Arkham City in some regards. Although, I'd say a little more linear than Arkham City in the sense that the story is linear, but you get to explore more in and you get to explore more in the Batman games. But anyway, that's my video game rant for the week. I'm off the games right now. Couldn't get into the Twisted Metals. And then I had this conversation with my buddy Brett, who I mentioned earlier. We were talking about how Super Nintendo games are special. Super Nintendo was the best, because he was trading in his Super Nintendo, and he was trading in all these systems that he was just cleaning house on. He had a bunch of storage he was getting rid of. So he traded in his N64. I think he traded an N64, a PlayStation, a PS2. He had a bunch of games for, like, PS2, PlayStation, and they were all, like, a buck a game. Even the N64 ones, $1, $2 games. Nothing crazy. But the Super Nintendo ones, like the Legend of Zelda ones, those are going for $30. You gotta figure, a game that you can get on an online store for $30 is still going for $30. You're not getting it at the online store for $30. I think you're getting it for like $10. But it's that retro value. You know, and we started discussing this. And Super Nintendo, you think about it, was like the last great console for 2D games. It was the best at 2D games at the time. There's no load times, and it's a fun system. There's a lot of colors in the games. There are fun platformers on it. There are just a bunch of good games. There's enough cool sounds and unique... There's enough uniqueness about the games where there's little secrets and whatnot. It's the perfect system. N64, anything else beyond that, N64, like PlayStation 1, you play those games, and you start to realize they're just crappier versions of today's games. There's nothing really innovative and new. At the time, they were groundbreaking. They were unbelievable, because we had never seen something like that before. You know, I remember playing Super Mario 64 for the first time. Or even something like Resident Evil 2, where they had these 3D, you were shooting 3D zombies. And it wasn't in an arcade, it was in your home. Having said that, there's nothing... Or GoldenEye. Look at GoldenEye, the first-person shooter. The original home console first-person shooter. I mean, I would even argue that it's probably... Did they even have any first-person shooters that weren't just rail shooters at the arcades? You know what I'm talking about, where you're... Most of the time when I would go to an arcade as a kid, they'd have games like Area 51, where there was a specific track and you held a gun and you waited for people. You waited for people to pop out. You'd shoot it, kind of like a duck hunt type thing. You couldn't control where you were going or when you were going to shoot. But then when GoldenEye came out, even like something like Doom or Wolfenstein were kind of like the precursors to GoldenEye. When GoldenEye came out, where everything was 3D rendered, not just the stages themselves, but the actual characters. It was amazing. It was mind-blowing. And really, you play it now, it's very crude, because we introduced dual analog sticks and other buttons that you can use to chuck stuff and various charge weapon, like you can run faster, you can jump, you can grab onto different things. So these games, these first-person shooter games, don't necessarily hold up. The only one I would say you can make an argument for holding up, and maybe that's just because I played it so much, were the wrestling games. And those are actually still really good games. But even then, you're looking at them, they're just a bunch of polygons waving, flailing at each other. You just realize how much imagination it took for those first original N64 games. It was very similar to like that with the original NES and the Atari. Atari, you had to use a lot of imagination. They'd even have booklets that would tell you the story. Oh, this sprite is the evil galactic warlord, Terry. He's Terry. And he's gonna fight you because you have his princess, and you have to get a high score, or I don't know, something stupid. Or you have to save the princess, but you never save the princess. You save the princess by racking up a high score. It's a never-ending battle. Then when then the original Nintendo came, you had just a good Nintendo system. You had this, like, the first time you could kind of recognize what you were watching on screen. We could recognize a plumber. We saw a guy shooting something out of his hand, and that was Mega Man. You saw an ape in Donkey Kong. These were recognizable characters. And then Super Nintendo made it even better. You had some textures, there were a little more shading, a few more colors along the way. You had 16-bit, better sound. Yet it was still a 2D platform. Then you had the first movie. It's like a well-edited book, and then you had the first movie. And those first movies, some of them were okay. But do they hold up now? Not so much. I'm not watching the very first Dracula anytime soon, even though it's iconic. Gotta be real. Anyway, this is what I did not expect to do 20 minutes on this, by the way. I was actually gonna use this as my intro. Yeah, I played a lot of games, that's why I haven't been here. Having said that, I can't get back into video games. I'll give myself a little bit of a leeway, a certain time frame. But now, and you guys help me be accountable. Maybe I'll talk about it on the podcast if I relapse into video gamedom. And I don't mind playing a few here or there. It's not like I'm anti-video game. It's just I'll get sucked in and you will not see me. There'll be bottles of urine outside my room. And just it'll smell like ramen noodles and depression. And just all around miserableness. I think I first got out of high school. I got sat down by my parents and they looked at me. I think it was the summer after high school. It might have been summer grade 11. Maybe even spring break. I can't even remember. It was just something to the along the lines of, "You look ill. You look ill." Because I would stay in, and I think it was the first time. I went back and played a bunch of retro games, too. There was, like, a stint there. But not anymore. I'm a changed man. Well, at least with the exception of this Tomb Raider game. Or until the next great game comes along. Never beat Skyrim. I got a ways in Skyrim, and I find video games are a good way to decompress for school. If you're kind of just tired of, if you have no money and you want to veg out or do something and feel like you've accomplished something, video games are a good cheap high. And they're fun. Don't give me the idea that it's social, though. I don't like the, unless you're coming over and you're having the split screen parties, I don't like the idea that it's, oh, kids are being social today. When they're in this game, yeah. Are they? Are you really? You're just talking. You're not really talking to people in person. Yeah, you might have a couple friends on there. But, I don't know. Never really got into the online gaming thing. I like the parties. I like the idea of having two controllers, having a split screen going over. But, yeah. I did not just play video games this weekend. I wanted to talk about this. I also watched a lot of sports. I did. This was a great weekend for sports. Sports. I liked sports. Because you had the UFC come on. There's still baseball going on. Although, you know, being a Jays fan and a Mariners fan, it's tough right now. The Mariners are a long shot out. I was so hoping they would make it this year, and they tanked. They stunk it up. Robinson Cano testing positive. I don't think that just that sunk their season, but it didn't help. I think he could have been. He's definitely the difference in five of those games. you know, you still have to pitch around him. So that was tough. But, enough about baseball. It was football this weekend that was really taking the highlights. And that was a lot of fun. Just watched the Seahawks play the Broncos today. Although you're listening to this Monday, so I was watching it yesterday. Or maybe you're listening to this. I watched it on Sunday. Sunday, September 9th. I don't want to date this podcast, but that's when it happened. Little throwback. It was nice. It was a little throwback to Super Bowl 48. I would have rather watched that than the loss in 27-24. It was in Broncos Stadium. It's nice. I guess it's nice to see the Broncos get a home win. That's okay. It was weird, too, because I was at work earlier. I got called a bandwagon fan, and that bugged me. Don't call me a bandwagon fan. You're not a bandwagon fan. First of all, you're not a bandwagon fan if you supported the team during the John Kitna years, okay? I'm going to throw about a bunch of references out that you won't remember or won't know if you're a casual, quote-unquote, football fan. You're not a bandwagon fan if you remember when the Seahawks were in the AFC, not the NFC, and that Seahawks versus the Broncos was a rivalry. Yeah. In fact, you're not a bandwagon fan if you remember Brian Bosworth, the picture of Brian Bosworth all over John Elway. Yeah, that's right. Or remember Dan Marino's last win in the NFL was at, what is it, the stadium, the Kingdom. It was at the Kingdom against the Hawks in a playoff game. The next week he lost to Jacksonville. Or admit to supporting Sean Alexander. Yeah, that's right. I thought when the Seahawks lost the Super Bowl against the Steelers, yeah, I'm not talking about the Pats, that Sean Alexander deserved every penny because he was great. Or you're not a bandwagon fan if you have a loaf of Tatupu jersey. Or remember the real Kurt Warner, not the QB. Or can talk about the Mike Holmgren era. Or the short-lived Jim Mora era. Or when Jim Zorn, the QB coach, went over from the Seahawks to the Washington Redskins, ran that for a couple seasons, and didn't do so well. It wasn't a good fit for him. You know what? You're not a bandwagon fan if you sit through the game that I just saw, where the Broncos run through the offensive line, the Seattle offensive line, like a sprinkler on a hot day. That was actually not a very good way to read that line. Let me take that line over again. You're not a I'm gonna rewrite this. I'm gonna cut that out and put it in post. You're not a bandwagon fan if you sit through the game that I just sat through and watch the Broncos run through the Seattle offensive line like a kid through a sprinkler on a hot day. Nailed it. All about the delivery, am I right? Oh, that was a rough one. I was so excited. Here's the sad thing. I was so excited about that line. I thought that was such a hot take. That was like my own little Jim Rome vibe in there. Didn't work out. Completely biffed that one. Whatever. Yeah, can't win them all. Anyway. But Von Miller got 3 sacks on the day. Von Miller. Okay. Russell Wilson was sacked 6 times. Ugh. They got the Bears next. And then Seattle's got the Bears next week on the Monday Nighter, so whatever. It was a tough day. But I think the worst thing is I was called a bandwagoner. Moral of the story, guys, words hurt. That's fake news. I'm not a bandwagoner. Whatever. I just wanted to put that in there. Anyway, I wanted to tell you that I watched the football. I just had to share something like that. Share something about other than the fact that I played video games all weekend. Fun fact, the Madden games, I was playing those on the PS1. I used to love the Madden games. I think I played a steady diet of John Madden. I remember when Madden used to actually play call the games.
Yeah, you're not a bandwagon NFL fan. If you can remember when John Madden used to play call the games before Chris Collinsworth. Oh, do you remember who it was before Chris Collinsworth and Al Michaels? I want anyone. Does anyone remember? It was John Madden, Pat Summerall. There you go. Fun fact. If you are listening to this podcast and you haven't tuned out by now, good on you. Because I went super old school for my casual listener. I don't think the person that's listening to my podcast, the people that I know listening, they're just like, cool, Teach. Cool, you went on a weird, I was stuck through 20 minutes, 25 minutes of you rambling about Tomb Raider and old school video games so you could talk about the Seahawks and obscure Madden references and then circle it back around to video games. Cool, dude. Cool. Anyway, and to talk about a bandwagon. No, whatever. You know what? Deal with it. Seattle lost today. I'm a little bitter. I get bitter, and I get grumpy sometimes. Oh my gosh, I wanted to tell you a little bit about me getting grumpy too. And maybe I'm just getting old, because I think they switched managers at my gym, and ever since they've done it, they've been pumping the music extra loud, and I get it. You want it to be a happy vibe and it's fun, and I think I'm a pretty friendly guy when I go into the gym. Like, I look like a scrub. I swear. There's certain people that go and they just look good. They're just naturally good looking people. At least that's what it appears like, you know, because if you're working out at the gym, well, maybe you're decked. There's some people that are there that are decked out and probably takes 20 minutes to get their hair right and get the makeup right. Guys or girls, there's no gender specific thing to that too. There are dudes there that have probably spent, like, you know, hundreds of dollars worth of product on their hair. Luckily, I don't have that problem. Just to go upstairs, and then they have, like, you know, the nice brand name stuff going up there. I swear they've got a little blush on too. Rocking it. Just thinking they're in some sort of Gap ad or something. I don't know. Under Armour ad. Just watched a Dwayne Johnson video on Instagram. They're all excited, ready to motivate people on their own Insta story. And you can tell when people are taking pictures of themselves too, the gym. They're just gonna look. I can tell when someone's taking a selfie too, because they hold their phone up just a little too high. A little too high to be texting, because they want the angle. You always want the angle. You can always tell when someone's doing it, because nobody holds their phone up into the sun, okay, or into a fluorescent light. They don't want the double chin. Me, I get so uncomfortable taking a selfie, because I don't even think I look good when I take a selfie on the quote-unquote right angle. That's why I'll use the GoPro. The GoPro's fun. It looks like I'm doing a fisheye, if I do a selfie. And I will. I'm shameless for it. I can't say I haven't. Look at my Instagram page. It's usually a selfie, but I think there are also videos of me rambling. Anyway, this is getting off topic. I was getting back to the gym, and they start blaring this music loud, and I don't know. I know. I also have worked in recreation where people have told me to turn the music down, so I don't want to be that guy that ruins everybody's vibe. But at the same time, it's killing me. I might just switch gyms. I just can't do it. It's actually grating on me to the point where, I mean, I thought I had decent headphones. I had the noise canceling ones. No, I don't. It's getting annoying. It's really, anyway, I'll rise above it. Maybe I'll just wait it out, because I do like the gym. It's been a great one. I've been there. Having said that, I've been there for probably, like, how many years I've been there for? I think it's coming up on 3 in 8, 3 in March. So, yeah, I've been there for a while. Maybe it's time for a change. Maybe this is their way of secretly moving me out. This is their way of getting rid of me. This has all been a big ploy. That's not narcissistic at all. Okay. I'm going to move on. I promise. What do you guys think? What should the level of music be at a gym nowadays, though? Is it going to be, should it be too high? Is, like, wow, that was a stutter. Is it too much to ask that we keep it at a reasonable level? Because most of us are wearing headphones anyways. The only people this is now for are for, I'm going to say, old people, because they don't know how to use, most of them don't know how to use headphones. And chances are they're coming in the mornings, they're coming early in the mornings anyways. And if you're playing music, you're not playing the music they like. Unless you're getting a lot of geriatrics saying they really enjoy Skrillex. Oh no, you know what? What's that other guy? Tiesto. Yeah, you got a lot of guys asking for Tiesto and the Chainsmokers? No. No. They don't play that a lot at the retirement communities, I can just tell you that much. And grandma just recently moved into one. She's having a great time, but that's probably because they're not playing Tiesto or the Chainsmokers or any other dubstep. And it's fine. It's fine to listen to it. But when it's competing with whatever's going on in my ears, not a big fan. The other thing, too, is if everybody's wearing headphones, everybody that you want is wearing headphones, the only people that aren't wearing headphones are the employees. And you're not there for the employees. You're there to serve the customer. Anyway, I'm not mad. This is my passive-aggressive rant that I'm doing, okay? I'm cool, bro. I'm cool. We calm. I think I don't know. It's sad, too, because, just sit there and let me listen to talk radio, my podcasts. Talk radio. Yeah. Yeah, I listen to talk when I'm working out. Man, I am old. Ooh. Talk radio. That is the sign of, moving on in life. Anyway, speaking of moving on, like I said, everyone's going back to school now. And as I said, I had projects that I wanted to do, things I wanted to accomplish. And I'm going to talk about, there's a couple I'm going to talk about a little later on. If it weren't for this podcast, first and foremost, I think I'd be completely in a free fall. Thank goodness I'm not. I saw this thing where Justin Trudeau, our prime minister, our quote-unquote feminist prime minister, was in Surrey this week, which was really exciting for me. I think that's awesome. I love the fact that, I will say this for him, that man gets around Canada. He's not just huddling in Ottawa. He's doing stuff. He's seeing the country. Maybe people want him to do stuff. I don't know. The one thing I know is he likes to correct people on political speech and talk about, gender equality. And the thing I wrote last semester is I compared women in professional sports, the women's struggle in professional sports to get equal airtime as men do in professional sports, to women's struggle to get equal rights in the mid, was it 19th century? 20th century, if you're going to count it the year ahead. The 1900s. The suffragette movement. And it actually turned out pretty good. It was surprisingly, the class I was taking was Canadian poetry and prose. And I actually thought I was going to hate this class. I thought it was Canadian poetry and prose to the 1920s. It sounds like you're going to be hearing about a bunch of rivers and fur trappings. Cool. It's going to be one. It's like Bob Ross without the visuals. And don't get me wrong, I love me my Bob Ross. But just a nice little poem about a exploratory thing. When you're already fatigued, I don't want to read Bob Ross. I want to hear him talk to me and watch his afro bob up and down while he talks about happy clouds. But no, it was anything but that. It was actually exciting. I thought the teacher, Kaylee, If you get a chance to teach, to take her class at UFV, do it. It was a phenomenal class. It was exciting, and I got a chance to write on women's issues of all things. And I thought it was, I've always had this. This is like my one soapbox issue where I just get up and I wouldn't want to shout to the heavens. That I think if there's one thing that irritates me most is the fact that we don't have enough professional sports for women, and yet we are willing to show the dumbest things on Sports Network, like poker. Don't tell me that you can't find a market for women's hockey, and yet you can find a market for darts. Okay? And I don't want to bury this topic, so I might gloss over it today, but I want to save this for a bigger podcast. And this is one of the projects I'm going to work on, because I talked to my prof, and she thought it was a good enough essay if I really pursued it and went with it, then I could maybe submit it somewhere. And the big idea for me, and I'm going to announce this, so if anybody hears this, I'm going to timestamp it right now. I think you could make the argument that the money that we spend, the CBC spends, licensing out Hockey Night in Canada to Rogers Sportsnet, I think you might be able to make the argument very convincingly that you could save some of that and put maybe a women's game in there. You know, kind of like a fight card or a junior league. You know, save some of the broadcasting and production costs that you're probably paying in royalties. I don't know how much they actually do pay. I'm assuming it's a bit. But how awesome would it be? And I'm just thinking about this because I'm a big fan of the UFC. And the best fight of last night, of UFC 228, was the women's strawweight fight that was second last match of the night. And where, I thought it was the most exciting, at least. Jessica Andrade, I'm looking this up right now, so if I'm butchering the names, I'm sorry. Defeated Carolina Kowalczyk. I can't even say her name. I'm not even going to try. But it was a sick KO punch. Both women were fighting aggressively, and it was exciting. It was entertaining. And I think you can argue that the UFC has proved, and even just fights in general, proved that you don't have to have more than, like, you don't have to have the same league to necessarily be the most entertaining. You know, I mean, I don't want to see Conor McGregor fight Brock Lesnar because Conor McGregor would get pummeled because Brock's a bigger guy. But I want to watch this Conor fight Khabib on October 6th. That's going to be a great fight. That's exciting. But it's not exciting because they're the biggest. It's the most exciting because they are the best within their specific weight class or their specific gender doing what they do. I mean, why do you think so many people are excited about the idea, the thought of Amanda Nunes fighting Chris Cyborg? And if you're not hip to the fight game, I get it. Those are two women's fighters that have been talked about going at it for a long time now. Okay? Or why do you think Ronda Rousey was so big? She was an engaging, entertaining character. We got involved in her story. Okay, we were invested in her fights. And as she got better, as that division grew, so did the sport. And now you see a bunch of talented women. They now have 4 belts, I believe. Is it 4 in the UFC now? And it's an exciting division, and it's growing, and the sport has elevated. The level of talent and the level of competition has elevated because there is interest there. If you look at, and that's not just, I'm not just using that as a template just because I think, you know, you should throw stuff in and just throw women's hockey in there willy-nilly. Women's hockey's exciting. If you look at the best stories coming out of the Olympic Games this year, the best ones were Team Canada versus USA. that rivalry has been going on for so long. And Canada has always been the top dog. And the fact that USA won, finally. And there's that whole thing where the one girl took off her medal early and she was just sad. And like the one Canadian girl was choked. And, you know, they tried to make that into a storyline. That was the most exciting part of the Olympics for me. I mean, you could say there were others too, but I couldn't tell you the names of the people in the men's hockey. Was it, I think, Germany maybe? Was it Germany? It might have been Germany, Russia. Maybe I can. I don't know though, and I'm not going to research it because I don't care. The point is, it doesn't matter. Gender does not matter when you are watching sport, when you are a spectator of a sport. It no longer, it never has, it hasn't for a long time. What does matter is, are we invested in these characters? Are you invested in the people playing? And is it something you want to see? And how do we not know if we don't establish a market and we don't grow it? And I think there is one. How has Hockey Night in Canada, Hockey Night in Canada become a national success? CBC broadcast it. CBC helped grow the NHL. Let's not forget that. Okay? People can say it's Gary Bettman all they want, but the fact that we would show Hockey Night in Canada would show all around the country. The original six became a thing. You know, why do you think there's so many Leafs fans, for crying out loud? So many dads that are Leafs fans. Not so much anymore. You got a bunch of Canuck fans and whatnot, but that's what it was when I was growing up. You always have the influx of people from Ontario that are Leafs fans. And maybe that's just because my dad's a Leafs fan. But bottom line is, I think you could make the argument, especially with the fact that anyone can get any hockey game at any time now. It's not like we're going to be hurting. The CBC is going to be hurting if it gets rid of NHL hockey for Hockey Night in Canada. I'm not saying get rid of it entirely, but maybe just, you know, save a few bucks on a couple games and maybe promote a junior league, you can promote a women's league, and you can maybe have an NHL game thrown in there as well. You know, have a bit of everything. Give me a sampler. That's what I want. I want a hockey sampler. Now, and same with baseball. Anything but darts, okay? Why are we showing darts on TV? That's a slap in the face. You know, and I get it. Even to the point where it's so funny because, you know, if we have women's professional sports, and now that I'm on this, I'm going to probably do another podcast on this. So those of you guys that are listening this far in, I'm sorry. I like how it takes me, like, it's 20 minutes on video games and 20 minutes on an actual legitimate subject, thrown with a splash of bitterness at the gym and angriness at being a Seahawks fan. But I think that if you look at the jobs that you can create, not only just with the athletes, but you're going to create better women's coaches, you're going to create women color commentators, and I mean, we have female sports reporters, but they're all, like, even Erin Andrews, she's a sideline reporter. How come we've never had someone in the booth for a hockey game? Maybe we have, I've never heard it. I was excited to see the fact that they actually have one. Arizona has a female color commentator, and that's awesome. But I think you'd see more of that developed because you'd get more women with more credibility within their sports, and you could even have crossover, and you'd have athletes that they could draw upon professional experience from. That's my rant, but I would love to see actual change, and I'd love to see that's a change that I think we can do. It's a Crown Corporation. And to be honest with you, for all the talk, for all the grammatically correct phrasing that we do the changing of the national anthem. Here's a practical way that we could literally impact and change women's lives, not just by being grammar police. And I'm not saying that was a bad change, although I think we could have come up with something on all of us command. Like, maybe we just take the lyric out. It just seems, it's not a great lyric, all of us. It sounds awkward. I know, I even played around with it a little bit. I don't know. Thy son sounds lame too. What about thy, like, thy citizens? Thy, like, I don't know. I can't. I like the thy. I don't think I was attached to necessarily the sons. But the of sounds too simplistic now. I like slowly segued away from women's sports to talking about the national anthem. Whatever. At the end of the day, it's a song that represents our country, and if that makes it more inclusive, great. Here's another way to make our country even more inclusive. I'm gonna get off my podium now and announce that I am running. I'm not. Lord knows I could not run for any sort of elected party. I just don't think I'd be good, and I think there's too much weird stuff out there of me trying to be funny. I mean, having said that, Justin Trudeau's fallen down a bunch of stairs and he's been in a boxing match, so who knows? Anything can happen. But yeah. Anyway, I wanted to. What else was I going to talk about? Oh yeah, the other project I wanted to do. The other project I'm working on. So that's the essay project, and like I said, I think I might actually get someone on the podcast. I'd love to get someone. So if anybody knows anyone that you think would be good on here, let me know. Send me a tweet at TJ Tulloch. But yeah, the other one I'm working on, I think I'm going to revive. I'm setting a goal for myself. I'm finishing up my graphic novel. My last big project before I graduated was to do a graphic novel on lifeguards. And I've been a lifeguard for years, and I thought it would be fun. Now, this was a big undertaking, a lot bigger undertaking than I thought it was going to be. It was frustrating because everyone else was just writing. They'd be writing poems, and I'm not trying to toot my own horn here because my writing is subpar at the best of times. Actually, no, I think I'm okay. I'm not going to take that back. I'm not Hemingway, but I can write, and I at least have a voice, which is, I think, a lot more than a lot of other people do. A lot of people try and be literary, and I'm not. I just try and be honest. And I think there's something to be said about having truth, finding truth within literature, or truth within your voice. So without being too cute, I think there's a lot of times, and especially with some of the writing I've read in university, people are trying to be very pretentious, and not pretentious, but sound a lot more intelligent than they are. I think one of the best compliments was the fact that your work, I think I got it from, was it Hillary Turner, who was the head of the English department at the time. Your work is coherent and entertaining, yet unrefined, and that's quite refreshing. So, meaning that it hadn't been sullied, my voice hadn't been sullied by academia. And I thought that was a very flattering thing. It was a very nice thing for someone to say about my work. So, I decided I wanted to, I'd never done a comic before. I've always dabbled in comic books, and I used to draw as a kid. I've always been a fan of Charlie Brown, and so I thought I could pass off writing a graphic novel. And it's a lot of work. So like I said, when other people are just typing and writing and just writing stories, I'm learning three different computer programs because I would have to, not only would I have to draw, I'd have to scan it, and I'd never actually used a scanner before. It was kind of my first time setting up my home scanner. Scan it, take it into Photoshop, from Photoshop, take it into Illustrator. Illustrator, I think I did, oh no, was it Lightroom? I there were a couple different things that I had to, and then from Illustrator, I think I went to InDesign. It was just a big layout mess. And in the meantime, I'm also writing this story and trying to sketch things out. So it's coming a lot slower. And I think the other thing, too, is this project, I was cocky, okay? This project was something that people, you were supposed to come in already having done. And I was like, nah, I'll be able to do this. No problem. I wrote a script. I've written a manuscript. I had to write a screenplay. That's another thing. I will swing and miss horribly. And it's, you know what? But at least I will take a good hack at falling on my face. I'll say that for me. Some of the stuff I've done, like that, like the script I wrote, we'll talk about that another day. It was about a cult that made people's heads explode. It was a B movie. I wanted to make a B movie. We'll talk about it later. This one, I had to laugh because, again, it came slow, and I ended up writing probably a 140-page manuscript for this thing, and I illustrated a full-color illustrations of this book. I probably got a good 40 pages in. So it's nowhere near being done, but it was entertaining. And the best part was the fact that I did it on pool lifeguards, and it's some of it's based on experiences. It's not me, it's a character. This person is not representative of me. There are elements of me in this character, but it is not me. This is a separate character that I wrote. Just like everyone in this story. It's a fictional universe, and I had to do certain plot points to advance the story. However, it starts off with a very detailed way of us cleaning poop out of the pool, because lifeguards don't necessarily save lives all the time. We don't, as glamorous as it seems to be with Baywatch and The Rock and Zac Efron doing all these goofy things, most of the lifeguards in the world just end up teaching lessons, getting sick a lot of the times, and cleaning up poop out of a pool. And so that's what I did. I did a comic starting off with a guy watching a pool and then somebody noticing a turd at the bottom. And then I may have spent probably like 20 pages discussing how to get this poop out of the pool. Anyway, I thought it was funny. I think the lifeguards that read it thought it was funny. I thought the pace moved along well. However, the best part was getting the comments back saying the medium worked a lot better than I thought. Having said that, I believe you devoted too much time to poop. There was way too much poop in this. I thought that was interesting for a couple reasons. First of all, I was kind of bummed because I like, oh, she didn't get the vibe. They wanted a deeper meaning with the graphic novel. They wanted me to have something more to say that would have been a lot more, like that had some sort of social relevance or societal contribution. I'm like, this is just a slice of life. You know, Clerks didn't have any like critique on the Cold War or, you know, what was happening with the Clinton administration. That's not what this was about. Clerks was about two guys. This was basically Clerks in the pool. And I grew up on directors like Kevin Smith and Quentin Tarantino, who were more fascinated by the little stories between the scenes, between the excitement, the little nothing moments that build up just before the big scene happens. And then when you do have that big scene, there's so much more resonating with it. That's what this was supposed to be about. Anyway, so she didn't get it. But I had to laugh because it was the comment, you know, for on the one hand, I'm the only person who's ever attempted a graphic novel. I believe in that course. So for the rest of her life, she's going to, like, for the rest of the time that course is on, she's going to have to, and I got a passing grade. She's going to have to say, you can do poetry, you can do some novels, you can even do a graphic novel. You can do a graphic novel if you want. I know one person that did a graphic novel. And then when she says you can even do a graphic novel, the eventual question is, what did they do the graphic novel on? And she's going to have to think about the fact that I did a graphic novel on poop. That the graphic novel that got a passing grade was on a lifeguard cleaning poop out of a pool. So sometimes, guys, I guess the moral of the story, sometimes it's not about about getting to the top of the mountain. It's just about moving the needle. Because all those great stories that we had in that class that she's going to kind of vaguely remember. They're going to fade into obscurity. I got to be real. And this is where my ego takes a little center, because I like doing something a little different. Having said that, you know, because I didn't do poetry. I was Monty Python, and now for something completely different. So guys, I guess, like I said, the moral of the story, be different. Pull an apple. Think different. Although, you're not thinking different by getting Apple, because everybody has an iPhone. Anyway, that's it for me. I've rambled along enough. I think this is the longest episode I've done. Pretty darn good. Wow, you know what? We covered a lot of ground here. So guys, what'd you think of the show? Tweet me at DJ Tulloch. You can check me out on Instagram at TJ Tulloch. Call me on my BS. Do what you want. Leave a comment. Leave a like. Maybe even subscribe to the podcast. Anyway, I'm out. Have a good week.